This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Workers and management of the Bay Area Rapid Transit System up in San Francisco, BART as it's known, are in the middle of a 60-day cooling-off period. Thousands of BART workers walked off the job back in July to the great frustration of Bay Area residents trying to get to their own jobs. Some of the most vocal complaints were heard on social media, many of them from people employed in the region's hot technology businesses. That tension between the frustrated techies who are driving a booming economy and blue-collar workers who help them get to the office says a whole lot about the changing nature of work in this country. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has that story.
During the BART strike back in July, I talked to a guy named Richard White. He's the CEO of a tech startup in San Francisco called User Voice. He'd been on Facebook grumbling about the traffic that had been unleashed on his staff. And here's what he said about the striking BART workers.
My solution would be to pay them whatever the hell they want, get them back to work, and then go figure out how to automate all their jobs.
When this idea went out on the radio, some cheered White on, but many found it offensive. A few threatened to stop using White software, which happens to automate parts of the customer service experience for business. I wondered if White had had any second thoughts. So I went to his office in downtown San Francisco recently to ask. It had all the requisite tech startup accessories, beer-filled fridge in the break room, air hockey.
The largest air hockey table we could get in the building.
In the conference room next door, we sat down to talk.
All right.
And White was quick to tell me that he probably did sound a little callous with that automation proposal.
Here's this, like, rich CEO app. He gets mildly inconvenienced, and he just says, let's just do away with all these people and replace them with robots.
He said, when you're thinking about technology all day,
sometimes you do have sociopathic tendencies. You do things kind of in a vacuum, right? The prototypical worker will be displaced by this. It's different than saying Claire over here will be displaced by that.
But that is what's going to happen to Claire, he said.
Eventually, these things are going to be automated. It's not just BART, but it's lots of jobs. My point was, we need to think about these things.
White thinks about them a lot, he tells me. As he moves through his day, going to work, doing errands, he can almost see technology eating up the world.
Everywhere I walk in San Francisco, I notice there's a job that I don't think will be there in 15 years.
And so we went for a walk down 2nd Street toward the BART station near his office.
All the tech companies are in this area for the most part.
On the way, a taxi driver cruised by in his cab. At least that's what I saw. For White, that's a future
self-driving car.
And that checkout clerk at the corner store that we pass by, soon enough, he'll be a
self-service kiosk.
In White's view, automation isn't just an inevitable thing, it's a good thing. We should take the routine jobs people do and
automate as much of their day as possible so they can have more time to do the more valuable things.
But as we move down the streets of the technology capital of America, looking at the world through tech utopia tinted glasses, there's this voice in my head.
Isn't this the kind of stuff that's been worrying so many of the economists I talk to? That as technology advances at a faster and faster pace, it's vaporizing a lot of the middle-class jobs that used to employ people without college degrees or super specialized skills.
By this point, back on the streets of San Francisco, Richard White and I had arrived at our destination.
So we're right at the entrance to the Montgomery BART station.
What makes this place so interesting is that BART has become something of an anomaly in the new economy. With so much automation across all kinds of American industries, the thousands of unionized jobs at BART are a rare breed today in that they don't require college degrees or super specialized skills, but still bring in a decent middle-class salary. Take that station agent in the glass booth.
Come through the emergency exit.
Helping someone figure out which train to get on. A job like hers makes an average base salary of $64,000 a year. BART workers say the strike is about making sure those good salaries stay good. But in Richard White's eyes,
that's a lot of money to pay someone to answer questions about how to get from point A to point B. I have a map in my pocket at all times to tell me that.
He pointed at the Google Map app on his smartphone, meaning that station agent job?
That's clearly a job that could be automated.
We watched the agent from a distance for a while.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She was smiling and wishing her customers a good day.
Thank you. You're welcome.
At some point I asked White, so that whole automate her job thing, how do you feel about asking her how she would feel about it? He turned a little red.
Well, it's okay. She's such a nice lady, right?
Because I will probably afterwards ask her, but do you want to be
sure,
part of it? Okay. We went up to the booth.
Hi.
White was a little shy, so I explained to the agent behind the glass that the guy I'm with thought she seemed really nice, but also that a robot could probably do most of her job. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I don't just sit here all day.
Her name was Lanice Landry, and at first she was a little defensive. But then she tried to reason with White, listed the stuff she does, helping people figure out the route maps, assisting the elderly.
A lot of people don't speak English either.
White nodded, but he wasn't convinced.
That makes sense a lot. I wonder if you have to be right here, right? If we could have, like, you could just work from home and you could actually just have a screen here and they ask you questions.
Honey, you're talking about way futuristic stuff. Come on now. I've been in customer service for about 10 years, and I do realize people don't read. Hi.
As if on cue, a frantic-looking lady with a suitcase ran up to the window and interrupted our little debate.
Hi, sorry.
Come on, honey. Can you add money?
She was rushing to the airport and couldn't figure out the ticket machine. Landry came out of her booth to help.
Okay, so press yes.
And here's your receipt for your records.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Landry turned back to us and said, see?
Everything can be automated. And a lot of people do feel better having another person there.
But if your job was automated, I asked, what would you do?
I would do my hobby, which would be hair and makeup and buy and sell houses.
And now White is nodding.
See, wouldn't that be perfect if she actually could, like, pursue her hobby?
And yes, that would be very cool. But it's not what seems to be happening, at least yet. In studies that have tracked people over the last few decades who lost jobs because of automation or globalization, those people usually wound up with lower-paying jobs or no jobs at all. Some economists say it'll take time, but ultimately automation will be a net good in the future, just like it was in the Industrial Revolution. Others aren't so sure. Richard White says these questions trouble him, too. But he says those are the kinds of complicated challenges that a techie like him can't solve on his own. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.